advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
What's that?
Some beer. How do you pronounce that, Dave?
Peroni.
Peroni.
Yep.
My Peroni. Bobby Brown.
Different than a
like Bobby Brown, but different.
Yeah.
So, our friend
quiet.
Felix Adamo, which is a cool name.
Very
that reminds
cool
me of Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
But he gave this to us, so thank you, Felix. He's actually a local photographer for the paper.
It's actually my favorite beer, Peroni.
This is your favorite beer?
That is my favorite beer.
I never heard about it, except for the Bobby Brown song.
I've never seen it.
And I'm sure there's a lot of beer snobs out there who are like freaking out because it's not some triple Bock chocolate apricot butt sweat.
Really,
that's not even fucking beer, though. It's fucking grapefruit beer and shit. Come on.
It's very skunky, though.
Very skunky.
Yeah, it's supposed to be skunky.
So it tastes like, some marijuana stuffed into the bottle, marinated.
That's
a little bit, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's like very skunky beer.
Yeah. I thought that meant beer was bad. Like, I get Corona sometimes and I'm all, woo, what's going on here?
Well, Corona tastes like piss.
Yes, it does.
Corona, like with barbecue and stuff, sometimes it's very refreshing, but there are times, like, because of the clear bottle, I think there's like date things that happen with light or something, but it fucking tastes super skunk sometimes.
No, there's nothing wrong with that Peroni. That's how it's supposed to
taste. That's how it's supposed to taste. All right.
Supposed to taste like shit.
Well, thank you, Felix, for the marijuana beer.
It is my favorite beer.
And yes. Dave's not having any.
So, no, I'm drinking some whiskey.
You're drinking whiskey.
Beer just makes me sleepy.
Tequila.
What's our fan? Sean McGregor. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. We'll shout out Sean McGregor on Twitter. He's at...
He invented something.
McGregor Comics. I don't know.
He had a genius idea. Basically, he invented something called Canadian tacos.
Yes.
Really good idea.
Yeah. He took something called soft shells, yes, a.k.a.
Flour tortillas.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And he put shredded cheese on them.
Shredded cheese. Now, that is an original idea.
I bet no one did that shit before.
Shredded cheese on a fucking flour tortilla. Ingenious.
Then he put it in the microwave to melt the cheese and heat up the tortilla.
Yep. Yep.
And then he puts Yucatec on it.
Yep.
He puts Yucatec green specifically.
Stripe down the middle.
Yeah. And then I told him that I had heard of it before, but we called it quesadillas.
Yeah.
Fucking mind blown. He was like, wait a minute, for real?
Yeah. Well,
then quesadillas are delicious, is what he said. Yeah.
Well, that's a good
I think
reply.
He's being serious, too. I think he really thought he invented Canadian tacos, and it turns out they're just quesadillas.
That's because Canadians are stupid.
Well, I think there's a good chance if you're in Canada, you've never run across quesadillas before.
There's no Mexican food.
Pancakes
and gravy
fries.
Did I have a Taco Bell in Canada?
They do have Taco Bell.
But they have cheese roll-ups.
Oh, that's a good point. Taco Bell should have quesadillas in Canada.
Yeah, I mean, there has
maybe
to be.
Maybe they call them
food.
Canadian tacos.
Maybe.
I feel like that microphone thing's happening on round two. Like, I'm super quiet.
It's quiet.
Yeah.
Can you hear yourself?
Barely, but who wants to fucking hear me anyway?
Yeah,
that's right.
It's like people liking Koreans. It's just not a thing.
Yeah. I'm beginning to think I'm Korean.
Why is
nobody
that?
Likes me.
That's not true. But you do have a helmet on, and we're all just being really nice to you all the time.
It's that's invisible to me.
What?
Someone sent us attachment.
Dave's lost. So at the end of last episode, you have something else?
Yeah, I was actually going to talk about a thing because I'm a big fat nerd. There's a Kickstarter right now for a thing called Life Clock, which is wristwatch that's based upon the watch that Snake Plissken wears in Escape from New York and Escape from LA.
Is it like a countdown to your estimated death?
Yes.
Fuck that.
It's fucking awesome. Well, and it's like a full on, it's like a full movie prop reproduction.
I would have but anxiety it's also, every fucking day.
But like, it's also like a Bluetooth like smartwatch, but it looks like Snake Plissken's watch, which makes it a billion times better than the bullshit Apple watch because it's a fucking Snake Plissken watch.
Well, I'd like to point out that Dave's caller ID when he calls actually says Snake Plissken.
Yeah, we've mentioned that on the show before. Shit. You've probably forgot.
But for new listeners, it doesn't matter.
I was very happy to see this thing. And I got to give him like fucking mad props because I sent him an email and I said, I'm like seriously thinking about like, you know, contributing to the, you know, to the Kickstarter to get like one of the first ones that comes off the production line. But the problem is since it has a leather band, so I'm not going to buy it because it has a leather band. And there's different colors of leather band. So I asked and I just said, hey, do you have any fake leather band? Because I'd very much like to get one of these. And they wrote back just like, and I thought I was going to get some generic bullshit answer. Right. And it said like, no exclamation point. We thought of everything, but we never actually thought about this, vegans. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then the next day I got another email from them that said, disregard our last email and go back to our website in 24 hours because we're making changes that you're probably going to like.
Oh, wow. You initiated the fucking vegan
Snake Plissken wristwatch. Wow. That's I'm very happy cool, yeah. about that. So.
Oh, you're definitely donating now.
Yeah, how can Jesus I not? Christ. It's fucking awesome.
Except for it's probably made at fucking Foxconn or some shit.
And no, it's all made in America, according to their
just
Kickstarter.
Outside
made
of international Fox, waters. Right. Or something.
Yeah.
So if you're a Escape from New York fan, if you like Snake Plissken, check out the Life Clock. It's right now going on, but it's kind of cool. I'm into it.
Yeah. Martin Montez on Instagram. Are you drunk when you send messages?
I just got one on Facebook or something. I thought from that guy.
Think it's Instagram. Is it Facebook? Maybe it is Facebook.
Yeah.
Martin, are you drunk?
So you were saying something at the end of the last time you said something.
Oh, yeah. I said I got a Bruce Lee because on this episode, we're talking about Bruce motherfucking Lee.
Yes, we are.
So,
and I have to say, I've seen Bruce Lee movies and like I'm a fan of Bruce Lee, but I'm a fucking fan of Bruce Lee now. Like I'm way late to the game. Yeah. I know for sure. But like I want a poster and shit. Like,
oh, he's fucking unbelievable.
He's getting added to my Willie Nelson, Einstein, and then Bruce Lee. That's going to be the three pictures on my wall. Yeah.
I'm
that's
not
my
there.
Short list right now.
I'm not there.
You're not there with Bruce?
No, I don't like Asians.
I'm just kidding. He was Chinese, so you're okay. You just hate Koreans.
And half German. Or and part, half, part yeah. German, anyway.
He was, quarter he was German. He was white.
On his mom's side.
So Bruce Lee was white and motherfucker was made in America.
That's right.
So, yeah. So how can you not be behind him?
I looked into him and the first thing that I found, I didn't know this, his real name, he wasn't born Bruce Lee. His real name was Leroy Green and he was born in New York's Harlem. he was taught that one day he was going to find a thing called the Glow from Master Sum Dum Guy. And that he was going to go and fight Shonuff, the Shogun of Harlem.
Man, did he say, you fucking with the Wong Fu? No.
So that's the real backstory.
That's the real backstory. So it's a conspiracy. All this other stuff is a conspiracy.
Which stuff? He did find the Glow, and he found out that he was the last dragon.
How did you not laugh at his Wong Fu joke? Because he's stealing your thunder? That was a good joke.
No, Dave just goes along with it.
You don't laugh with that? Something Wong.
No.
No. Come on, man.
Dave's trying to tell us real shit.
I'm trying to tell you real shit about Bruce Leroy because he was fucking badass.
That's some 70s movie global shit.
85. 1985.
In 85, I was watching Goonies, and that's why I don't know.
I was watching Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
All right.
I was one.
With Bruce Leroy. Who is the master? Shonuff. That's all I got to fucking say about Bruce Leroy.
I was three.
Yeah. When Brad said that we were going to do Bruce Leroy, I was very excited about this episode.
Can you guys hear you? I can't hear myself.
Huh? Turn your volume up.
Hold on. Don't make a move. Don't make a move.
Don't move.
Okay, is that better?
I got microphone claustrophobic for a second. I thought I couldn't breathe.
I couldn't hear either, but I was just going with it.
Yeah, I was just rolling on it.
Now I'm really loud.
Yeah. Fucked up Dave's jokes and stuff.
No, he was good.
That was my something wrong. That wasn't good.
No, you didn't fuck up the joke. Like if the joke wasn't funny, it wasn't because you fucked it up. I just wanted to give a shout out to The Last Dragon. And I know like six listeners out there are like, fuck yeah.
I've seen parts of it.
I had no idea what you were talking about.
You've never seen The Last Dragon?
No, I was going with it.
Man, you got to watch it. It's fucking 80s in all its glory.
I don't like 80s movies.
This transcends because you like kung
Does
fu
it?
Movies.
Okay, all right. And if it's kung fu-ish.
And yeah. Plus your fourth tier.
It's black fu too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did watch the epic Afro Man anime, and that was great.
If you like afros and you like kung fu, you're going to like that shit.
Afro Man was awesome. Yeah.
You're going to like
Bruce and they Roy glow. And he, like, when shit goes down, he's like in the zone, he glows. So
yeah.
There you go.
It's got break dancing.
Oh, yeah. I'm there.
Vanity Dude. From Purple yeah. Rain.
What about Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo?
Fuck yeah.
Fucking movies are so fun.
Doing the fucking grapevine and shit.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, man.
So, okay. So we're doing Bruce Lee, not Bruce Leroy, but I did want to at least say something about Bruce Leroy.
Jenkins. But, that's all I can say. Every time I hear Leroy, I hear Leroy Jenkins.
And again, six people are laughing. Yeah. So
one of them,
the same fucking six nerds are laughing at that one.
No, I think they're six different nerds.
That's a you World found of a Warcraft way to
shut
one.
Brad up.
Yeah,
staring at a web page.
So Bruce Lee though was born without the name Bruce Lee. He was born Lee Jun Fan,
mm-hmm.
In San Francisco in 1940. And apparently he got the name Bruce from a racist ass doctor when he was born who couldn't pronounce his name and just started calling him Bruce.
He couldn't pronounce fucking Lee? That's Lee, his first name.
Yeah. Lee Jun Fan.
Come on.
Can't pronounce it. So
did you see what his name means?
Yeah, what's breaking down?
He's it a means fan of return June. Again.
Yeah.
Because they knew he would eventually return back to America. Like His mom prophesized that.
Because he was born in San Francisco. And he was born to his father, Lee Hoi Chuen, who was a Hong Kong, he was in the Hong Kong opera.
An actor.
Yeah. And I do want to clarify, like, because a lot of people who are modern day, like, badass movie martial artists have studied, like, from childhood in, like, Chinese opera schools. And when we talk about Chinese opera, it's not like the typical
it's not the opera
Eastern
we have
opera.
Here. Yeah.
It's like you were like, I mean, when you see Jet Li, when you see these people, they grew up doing since childhood.
Those fight scenes are the opera.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that's what it is.
So that's part, there's a lot of dancing. There's a lot of choreography. They stretch the kids out, make them fucking limber, like crazy discipline. So like when they grow up, they're already performers, they're already limber. It's very easy for them to adapt to martial arts. So to say
they don't do it nicely
singer,
though. The kids are crying and shit.
No, they are crying and shit. Like they fucking tie them with ropes and fucking stretch them out to like fucking break their tendons down.
Well, that's where they bind their feet and shit. Huh?
They do fucking crazy shit. But so I mean it's not at all what you think of when you think of like a typical European opera, like Chinese. And I know it's probably not the case with all Chinese opera, but I know a lot of martial artists come up from Chinese opera because they're limber, they know how to do this choreography, etc. And this is what Bruce Lee's dad did.
Well, his mom originally had a different name. It was going to be Sai Fan, and it meant small phoenix. I don't know what the meaning was going to be behind that, but either way, he's going to have some cool badass.
Well, it was the small phoenix was more of a feminine name,
yeah,
and it was to kind of maybe think that he was a girl, so that the gods wouldn't fuck him up.
Right,
Brad's
no, legit.
No, I did read that, and I think they were also afraid of Gary Coleman, who is the small phoenix.
Yes.
So they didn't want to.
Like that name's taken.
They didn't want to step on.
You gotta be careful. Dude.
Yeah, and he was born on the year of the dragon in the hour of the dragon,
which is so supposed to mean you're a badass, guaranteed.
Yeah, well, it worked.
Yeah,
because he was a fucking badass.
You must be like water.
He is born to, and apparently his mom was wealthy. She was from a wealthy family in Hong Kong. He was born in San Francisco because they were touring in America. And this is in 1940. So at the time, Hong Kong is occupied by the Japanese.
Yes.
And they end up going back anyway, because what the fuck do they care? So they go back to Hong Kong. I'm assuming that's the reason. I didn't do any research on the what the fuck
what
do they
the fuck
care.
Do they care?
It had to do with
I think that's what she said. She was like,
what the fuck do I care?
What the fuck do I care?
Yeah. It was like right around wartime, and there was that whole like Japanese internment camps and shit things going on probably too, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. It would have been before. If there was 1940,
we weren't in the war yet.
Yeah. It would have been before, because that happened in 1941.
Yeah.
She was a fortune teller.
But they went back to China.
Well, that's where they're from.
Yeah, and the war is going on. Fucking Japan is occupying China, and Bruce Lee, you know, they start up his acting career. You know, so he's doing all these movies. Actually, that was crazy to learn that he was the biggest. He was pretty much the biggest child star to ever come out of China.
They called him the Macaulay Culkin of his time.
Yeah. Well, we call him that.
They did. They called him that back then, and no one knew what the fuck he was talking about. Yeah. I'm the Macaulay Culkin of my time. Yeah. They're like, who the fuck is Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah.
But no, and he was in...
Sounds Chinese.
As a child actor, he was in 20 films, like back in Hong Kong. So he was already acting from an early age.
He's like the Corey Feldman.
He was in Home Alone 1 and Home Alone
2. Oh, Jesus.
He was in Home Alone.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. I'll give you credit.
Dave laughed at that one. Yeah.
So they go back in 1940. He was already, even as a baby, he apparently was in a movie in the United States as a baby.
Yeah.
So like they were just like fast tracking him into shit. And you can see a lot of footage of him as a child, of him doing all this.
That was actually my first film where I punched a baby in the one scene.
Did you punch him?
Yeah.
It came back to haunt him though.
Yeah. It did come back.
So they end up going back to Hong Kong, and apparently they're in a fairly nice neighborhood. The family has money. He's raised with good education, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But once the war really kicks up and once the war ends, the neighborhood goes to shit.
Yeah, like refugees move
very quickly.
Yeah.
Refugees move in, World War II madness, et cetera.
Yeah.
So the neighborhood very quickly becomes a bad neighborhood. So he ends up, you know, coming of age in a neighborhood full of street gangs, full of all kinds of shit. And this is sort of the backdrop.
Japanese fucking drug their trees in with them.
That's right. All they do is sit in them. Yeah.
Fucking flamethrowers on every corner.
So, and since he's Chinese, a lot of the Japanese who have occupied the city, like he's taunted by Japanese children. He ends up, and plus he's of mixed ancestry. He's from the States. That's where he was born. So like
so in the States, they hate him because he's Chinese and they hate him. He's white.
Right. Yeah. Or because he's not Japanese. Yeah. So he ends up going through a lot of sort of roughness. And even part of it is he started tooling around with one of the street gangs.
Yeah.
He got in a lot of street fights. He was in a ton of trouble as a kid all the time, getting kicked out of schools for being violent, for fighting a lot.
He self-admitted that he had a bad temper. Like he had a definite problem with his temper.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean like the street gangs weren't like, oh, like fucking the Johnny on the corner street gang. It's the fucking triads and the fucking Yakuza, you know, like they're fucking like, it's insane.
Yeah, and he gets kicked out of school after school. He's always in a lot of street fights. And this is even before he knows martial arts.
Right.
Like this is just fucking raw badassery.
Well, he was getting beat up though. It wasn't, it wasn't that he was out there fucking whooping their asses. Like they literally he would come out of school and the dude at school that was in the gang didn't like him. And so they would come out and they would kick the shit out of him.
Right. And he would fucking...
I didn't read that, but it just said lots of fights.
Yeah. Like constantly getting his ass whooped. And then I read two different dates from a couple of different sources. One of them said that he started in 1956 when he was 16, and one of them said in 1953 when he was 13.
I wrote that too. There was two separate dates.
Yeah, I couldn't track down.
I think
I kept seeing both.
I think 16 is the correct one because that's what his wife said.
Okay,
so when he got in with Yip Man,
yes,
yep,
and that was so he ends up getting in with Yip Man, who was a Wang Chung practitioner, and even that, like Wang Chung is kind of a funky style.
Wing Chun,
like,
it's a break off. Okay,
so is it Wing Chun or Wang Chung?
It's Wing Chun.
He said Wang.
A lot of people say Wang. It's actually Wing Chun.
I do Wang Chun in the bedroom. Wing Chun.
Wang Chun is the dance. Wing Chun is the style. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, Wing Chun. Yeah. And it's crazy to note too that Wing Chun is only big, like anywhere where anybody even knows about it is because of him.
Right.
Like that's kind of it.
Right. It was a very small style. And it was developed, and I knew this just from martial arts knowledge in general. It's a weird style that was developed by Buddhist nuns.
Yeah.
Like it was primarily a style for females to be able to overcome larger aggressors. So it's probably pretty similar to Aikido. It's a lot of reaction. It's a lot of using other people's strength against them. Well, a lot of speed.
And then like you have to yell no every time.
That's right. It emphasizes speed.
No.
It emphasizes speed over power, which
lots
is very
grain,
much
grain kicks is a big move.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Yeah, you carry a rape whistle.
That's right.
That's but no, I mean, that's what in Jeet Kune Do, the style that he developed, like Aikido was a big part of it. You know, like the he was a small man.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So it's a lot of controlling other people's movements, and it's a lot of speed over power. And that's very, or developing speed to get power.
Yeah.
You're not using your muscles for power. You're using your entire body to propel the force of the blow. That's very much what that style's about. And this is what he
when it's natural too. I mean, the little Phoenix, you know, naturally would go towards the woman martial art.
Right. So, that's right. You know, that's right. And anyone who doesn't know much about Yip Man, I mean, you can watch the movies, which are, I'm sure
it's spelled different. Though, like,
yeah, it is.
This is Yip Man.
This is Yip, Y-I-P.
Yeah.
And the movies are Ip, I-P Man.
Right.
And it's not like, I never really watched him because I was like, I am Ip Man.
Yeah.
Like what the fuck does Ip mean? Like, I was like Spider-Man or Superman. I'm Ip Man.
They might have had like copyright issues.
They probably did.
They're like, well, you can't send us cease and desist letters if it's not him.
His name different. Yeah. But, or it might just be a translation thing. Maybe that's, you know, maybe that's more how you pronounce it or
usually that something. Happens. Yeah.
But, and I'm sure it's historically inaccurate to make the fight scenes more fighty and whatever, but I know Ip Man and Ip Man 2 and Ip Man 3, which star, I just drew a blank on his name and he's like fucking my favorite and he's badass.
Clearly not.
Donnie Yen. I always want to say Donnie Yen. Donnie Yen, who plays him, is fucking badass. Like, the movies are really good. I haven't watched them until maybe 6 months ago. And I know there's a bunch of shitty ones, like Ip Man, whatever, like with a sub, like Ip Man 2, Electric Boogaloo. Like, the first one's good, the second one's good. And then there's like a couple of Ip Mans that aren't called in the number sequence because they were just different things. And then he came back and did it.
People try to piggyback them and they sucked. Yeah.
And he even said after the second one, Donnie Yen, he said, I'm not going to do any more because I don't want to exploit his legacy and start doing like shit. I want to like respect his legacy. But he was, you know, very interesting character. And when I started to look into Yip Man, it's the similar thing with looking into Bruce Lee. Like it becomes one of the, oddly enough, one of the most difficult things to research out of all the stuff that we've done, because so much of it is just shrouded in like myth. It's like, it's hard to cut to what really happened on this date in 67 and what really happened, because there's so much martial arts mythology built up around Bruce Lee, and the same thing with Yip Man. There's so much mythology about it.
Like only six people actually got like directly taught by him or something, or indirectly even partially taught by him, and Bruce was one of them, something in him.
It's very, I mean, it's just like you know, Bruce Lee's fighting out on the streets. They actually had video of him actually fighting like other, like his Wing Chun clan against like the other Kung Fu, you know, clan.
Well, the other one, it was called something foot.
Hand, foot, mouth disease.
That's something.
And those guys were fucking, you didn't want to touch them. You wanted to get in and out as fast as you could.
Impetigo was the other clan.
And then after you fight him, you don't put your hands in your mouth. Yeah.
That's right. That's true. So
Yip style, that's
like Yip Man, apparently, from what I read, did have a very unique teaching style. He didn't have massive classes like a lot of people did. And he tended to teach like what they call sticky hands, which is very much part of Wing Chun, which is just like controlling the other person.
They use the wooden peg dummy thing.
They use a lot of wooden peg dummies and a lot of sparring, and they didn't do traditional kind of line up and bow and do it like it wasn't that kind of a school.
Yeah, it was pot sticker movement and
a lot of pot sticker moves.
Yeah.
And eventually, even Bruce Lee couldn't take the classes at the formal studio again because of racism. Like the other students didn't want to study with him because he was Chinese. So a lot of the lessons he did with Yip Man were done solo, just him.
Well, it wasn't because he was Chinese, right? It was because he was partially Caucasian. It wasn't just the Chinese.
Was that what it was? I know it was part of his ancestry.
I think it was just because they found out he wasn't
He wasn't pure Chinese.
Pure Chinese.
Okay, that makes more sense.
He was, a quarter Nazi on his mom's side.
And that's one of the,
the Germans love us.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, even in his style, Jeet Kune Do, a lot of other Asians were pissed off at him because he was actually giving away the secrets.
Absolutely.
That only Asians were supposed to know.
If you know a lot of martial arts history, like most styles were very secretive, very competitive and very secretive. Like if you were a master and you like learned a style and then developed some extra stuff on your own, you were very selective in who you taught. Yeah. And a lot of it dealt with classism or racism. And it's like, if you were Chinese, you don't teach a Japanese your style. If you're Japanese, you don't teach a Chinese your style. If you're really wealthy with this style, you don't teach poor people. You don't, like, it was very selective in who would be taught. lot. And later on, when Bruce Lee starts teaching these things in America in the 60s, martial arts was not big. Like, there weren't a whole lot of schools. They were almost all on the West Coast. And
well,
it was rare. I mean,
yeah, your martial arts training had to do with you probably being in the military. Like, yeah, they might have showed you judo, right, you know, some wrestling, you know, right, some of those things, you know, some sort of Chinese boxing or something, or regular boxing, you know.
And almost any Caucasian person who was teaching in the 60s or 70s had gone to China or Japan, and they learned from masters back there and then came here, because it was just, I mean, right now there's martial arts studios on every corner of every style. But in the early 60s and the late 50s, that shit was rare. Like, and you couldn't find
the Hollywood scene was racist as fuck.
Yeah,
how did they slant their eyes like that? They fucking had white people, and they would, like, super stereotype, round glasses, buck teeth, fucking eye.
Oh, fucking, like, horrible.
It was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was bad. But this is sort of the environment that he grows up in. It is not the type of martial arts that we see today. And it's very competitive. It's schools fighting schools with, like, legitimate beefs that the masters have with each other.
It's Karate Kid, like, legit,
straight up.
Like, yeah,
like, you see these old kung fu movies where this school hates that school and the masters.
That's
fight.
How it was.
Like, that's the fucking shit. That's
that's the video I was talking about. They literally had video of the schools on the street. That. Like, they called them rooftop fights. Like, they were on the rooftop fighting.
Fuck.
And yeah, I mean,
it didn't look that, like, cool though. It wasn't like a kung fu movie.
Yeah,
it was like tripping over a curb and shit.
Yeah, because it's like it's a fucking,
it was a real fight.
Yeah, they're like fighting.
Yeah,
this isn't a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, push that bitch over the fucking parking lot.
Push his ass off. Yeah,
I'm just saying, shove him over the edge.
I saw some shit on World Star that was, like, pretty impressive.
I've seen not much on World Star.
Oh, that's no, there's impressive. Some fucking crazy people on World Star. I only know because Sid.
I have no idea what World Star is.
You're not really black. Your tier just changed somehow.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I'm fourth tier.
Yeah. He doesn't
does that
have
work
to
out?
Know. Yeah. He doesn't have to know.
He doesn't have to know? I don't understand your tier system.
What the fuck
so
is World Star?
World Star Hip Hop, the website.
Nope.
I'm keeping my tier level.
Yeah. I'm fourth tier. I mean,
I haven't moved.
Hand over your black card.
Well, no. And that just put him into the white tier, is all it did. That
I'm fourth tier white, fourth tier black. There's all kinds of shit I don't have to know about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers that don't know who Bruce Leroy is going to tell me I just got demoted a tier.
I didn't know. So that
from Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon. Anyway, so
you keep digging it in. Huh?
So allegedly, and this is, again, one of the things that you can't confirm or deny, but might be part of his myth. It might be the truth. But part of the theory is that in some of these street fights, he fucked up the kid of a triad member, like a gang member's kid.
They literally thought there's a hit out on him.
And they thought there was a hit out on him. And this is one of the reasons that he moves from Hong Kong to San Francisco, allegedly.
And allegedly, the police chief came to the dad and said, if he gets in any more fights, I might literally have to take him to jail.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's either going to jail or possibly dying.
Or San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he ends up bailing. And again, it becomes difficult because, I mean, a lot of the sources said that, and I'm thinking, I don't know if that's really going to be true or not, because it makes him a bigger badass if it is true.
That's the one thing, like, to cut through all the bullshit, you know,
it's
really hard to do. Like, you know, not taking away that he's, you know, he was a great guy. Like,
super badass.
You know, great philosophies. Yeah, super badass. Just, like, even while filming them, the cameras couldn't film fast enough to catch his movement.
No.
You know,
people when I was watching some of it today, it looked like they sped the camera up or something.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
No, some of his punches.
And they actually slowed the camera down. Like, they actually slowed his movement down.
And they had to film with, like, special cameras and special film just to be able to catch his moves because they were so fucking fast.
He was demonstrating a punch and he kept doing it. I was like, Jesus Christ. He's like the fast draw guy that shoots the fucking balloon or whatever. You can't see his hand.
The one at the... Was it the one at the 1964?
No, you're probably talking about the karate championship thing where he does the one-inch punch.
Well, he did a lot of stuff at that championship. He also was doing, like, punching speed displays.
Yeah. So he was telling a guy, I'm going to punch you in the face, and taking two steps back and then throwing the punch, and the guy still couldn't block it. I'm going to punch you in the face. Try to block
That's hard to do, though.
And this is the thing I really want to emphasize. Like, I know a lot of listeners might not know a ton about martial arts. You might not watch a lot of martial arts
movies.
Think
you do.
But as a person, I mean, I've studied martial arts for 20 years, and I have to say, at my best, I was like mediocre minus. Like, I'm not claiming I was ever fucking good at it. But I mean, I studied it a lot.
Yeah.
And I grew up watching every fucking martial arts movie I could get my hand on, from fucking Gymkata to fucking like Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon. If it was a martial arts movie, I fucking watched that shit.
Yeah.
And there is nothing out there like Bruce Lee. Like, as a film star, the shit he pulled off on the camera, and as a martial artist, when you see his martial arts displays, fucking I've never seen anything like it since.
Did you know he didn't use nunchucks until another guy like handed them to him, and he was like talking,
unbelievable,
he's talking shit like, these are dumb. And then in like 2 or 3 years, he was the best in the fucking planet.
Yeah.
And it got so popular in the United States that they had to add it to no one had ever even seen the shit before, really. It got added to like the banned fucking weapons list because they became so popular in the United States.
Everybody was walking around splitting over their own nuts.
They weren't hurting anybody else. It's fucking them hitting themselves in the head and shit.
I watched like an interview with a bunch of people like, man, we tried to make them out of broomsticks and we kept hitting ourselves in the head and it was like fucking done.
Well, no, that's the thing. Like, my sensei is pretty good with nunchucks,
right?
And he admits, I'm pretty good with these things,
right?
And like, when a bunch of people in my dojo were like, you know, we were all black belts at that point, and we were like learning different weapons that he hadn't been showing us before because they're fucking dangerous,
right?
He was teaching us like the sword, like we're like practicing with like real swords.
Here, take, and
we're
these
like
knives on a chain,
yeah, exactly,
babe.
And we're like, spend, what about nunchucks? And he was like, I'm not teaching you guys nunchucks because you're gonna fuck yourselves up. And then we
just so you guys know, Dave only has 9 fingers.
That's right.
He's never told us the story.
Like, finally, everybody in the dojo committed to buying like foam covered.
Yeah,
you know, Chuck, so we can
still
practice.
Hurt. You can still knock somebody out with
shit.
Them.
Like, we practiced with them for like a month, and I was like, nope, let's just cross this off the list, because all I do is nut myself, break my ribs, smash my nose.
Is not a good
like
term.
They're fucking horrible. And to watch the shit he was doing with those things, fucking unbelievable.
Well, and there's people, you know, now that are really good at nunchucks. You
absolutely
know, like, it's just like, I don't know how feasible they really are, but
it's like, I watch the speed, like you see his tournament fights, you see, I mean, you just see what he's doing on the film. Like, there's no film tricks. There's no, and it's like, it's not even just that he punched that fast. It's that he punched that fast, and right before the punch, he shifted a little bit to the right and threw a low feint and punched that.
Right.
It's like, it's technical perfection. The shift that he pulled off.
He used to watch boxing tapes in like reversed image because he was left-handed and the boxer was right-handed, so he was leading with the wrong foot.
Yeah.
And so he would watch the reversed image while he did push-ups and like he studied and studied. He even studied
constantly
fencing. That's why he has that sideways martial law fucking Tekken stance, because he studied fencing and he used fencing techniques combined with boxing techniques combined
It's kind of similar. I mean, you're fencing in, you're stabbing, you know, like that's
it's
the
a
punch.
Smaller
like,
target from the side. Yeah.
So, I mean, he was very smart about, you know, his movements and creativity with the body.
And
he really studied the body and the extremes of the
and
body.
He studied he studied skeletal structures. Yeah. He studied how muscles work. He studied a lot of people give him credit. And I think rightfully so, for really being the grandfather of mixed martial arts, because he was looking at every
style.
They called
him the father and Gene LaBelle is the grandfather.
Well, I think that's not really a true statement, but he was the one that brought
popularized
of mixed martial art to the world.
Right.
Because like, I mean, karate out of Japan had been mixed for a long time.
Sure.
You know, you had karates that were, you know, Southern Shaolin Kung Fu mixed with Chinese boxing, mixed with, you know, Goju karate,
yeah,
you know,
that's my style was,
it's all a mixture, you know? So, I mean, you take all these styles and put them together. I mean, judo was a mixed martial art,
right?
You know, they took, you know, Jigoro Kano studied multiple styles from all over the world and created judo, you know, and took certain things out,
right,
put certain things in.
Right.
So, you know, like everything is a mixed martial art, you know, nothing is pure.
Right.
But yeah, he definitely popularized.
He was
it.
One of the first people in the modern era to really consciously break down the martial arts and take.
Yeah, dude, he was.
And I think he was very smart because he was taking all the techniques that fit him, which is exactly what you should do as a martial artist.
Yeah.
It's like all the power moves that need you to be like fucking Bolo Young and like a big fucking buff guy
are
I'm
different.
Not putting him in my style because that's not what I need to do as a small ass Bruce Lee.
A lot of styles had ego issues with releasing that, oh, that might be better than what we do. You know what I mean? He had no problems with that. He had no boundaries as far as ego. Well,
and he told people that it was just, it was honestly, you know, the martial arts is an honest version of you. You know,
he even said Jeet Kune Do like won't be the same Jeet Kune Do next year. Like he's like, and if you're following that, it will be a different style. Yeah. He's like, it's not, it's an evolving style. Yeah. And when we find new things, we learn those new things and that, they're better.
And that's how it should be.
That is how it should
be. Smart. I wish Egyptologists were like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that was one of the things that I loved about my sensei, Tom Headley, is like when he was teaching our classes, I'm fucking 6'4", a big ass guy. Yeah. And there were certain moves that I would gravitate toward because I have more reach than anybody else. Exactly. I have a lot of Hulk smash moves. But it's like, you know, another guy in the dojo who's like, you know, 5'8" and like really, really small. Like he would, like sensei would teach him completely different moves because he knew these moves aren't going to work
I'm not getting 2 feet from you and then trying to kick you in the chin. Like that's not going to work with my long legs.
No, it's not good. But so you have to adapt your style. And that was one of the things that he was most masterful at, was adapting all those styles to fit him and then being able to pull it off both in the real world as a martial artist and be able to pull it off on the screen.
Yeah.
People get heated. There's a lot of controversy. Like that whole thing, like I watched some interviews, like Dana White from UFC was like, there's unarguably no contest that he is the father of mixed martial arts. Like, and then you watch Gene LaBelle get fucking pissed.
Yeah. Cause it's his legacy. I mean, that's one take on one thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I really think like
people Dana, are pissed about, I think Dana's Chuck Norris. Like,
yeah. Dana's talking to him and I think one day he could, and probably the next day he couldn't. Like that's how fighting works.
It's like the Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson thing.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And Muhammad Ali would get, I think Mike Tyson would destroy Muhammad Ali, but who knows? Muhammad Ali might pick Mike Tyson apart.
Right.
I think that it's just, but that's one day, you know, just cause you get beat one day by one person doesn't mean you can't beat him the next day. Right. I think if you look at it arguably like that, like it makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think the way Dana White's talking about it is that he created the modern day martial arts. Right. Like people saw the benefit and he brung it to light. Right. Like that had been happening for centuries and decades, you know, or decades and centuries, I should say, that martial arts had been blending.
And he also, I mean, just talking cinematically, he really birthed the modern day action movie.
Yeah. Right.
Like
that's very true.
Even if you look at martial arts movies, like if you look at martial arts movies from like the 60s, like pre Bruce Lee, they're horrible. Fucking hard to watch, man. I mean, you see some fights that are kind of cool and you see some good styles, but after Enter the Dragon, the game changed. Yes. Like people were like, that's how
even
you make
now,
a martial
no
arts
one
movie.
Keeps up with it. They do have to do cut shots. Absolutely. People have to like punch, cut scene, turn.
No, and
his are full fucking no cutaway, just fought 8 different guys with 8 different fucking moves. The only one even comes close to something like showmanship on film is like Jackie Chan still pulls that
and
kind of
Jet
shit
Li
on.
Does it. You know, there's guys who do it.
Donnie Yen does it.
Yeah, there's guys who do it now, but
it's rare.
Yeah, and the same thing goes like, well, when he played, his first landing role really when he went back to Los Angeles or to the West Coast was Kato in the Green Lantern, right? Is that his name? Green Hornet.
Yep.
Right. So nobody, you know, he was doing moves. Nobody had seen those before.
Oh, yeah, he blew everybody's mind when he did that show.
He did arm bars, guillotines. He did all kinds of shit. They got it on tape. Like Bruce Lee was doing that way back fucking when. You know
well, I mean? And those were all moves that were available. Moves. They were there. It's just nobody trained.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of, and like I said, not taken away from his legacy or anything, but he was able to go in and train other actors. You know, he found a niche in training actors how to fight. And I think like when you go in and you're training somebody who doesn't know anything about fighting, it's you're not necessarily trying to fool them, but you can feed them whatever information you want to feed them.
Sure.
And they're going to take it because you're better than they are.
Right.
You know, so he found the niche. It was the right place at the right time, and he took advantage of it, which is
but even so, it was tough. So like in the 1960s, in 1959.
Yeah, it was.
He opens a martial arts school in Seattle. This is after, you know, he's older, obviously. He went to San Francisco. He went to the University of Washington. And again, part of the myth, I don't know. Some of the stuff said that he was a philosophy major. Some of the stuff said that he was a drama major who was studying theater. They both make perfect sense because he was a philosopher about martial arts. It's kind of hard not to be.
He was in theater.
And he was in theater and he was an actor. And so, I mean, they both make a whole lot of sense. But so he starts a school in Seattle and the style was called Junfang Gung Fu and Junfan Gung Fu. And his name was Junfan. So it was literally
like his Gung Fu,
Dave's Gung Fu. It was like, this is fucking my Kung Fu, bitch. Right. Like, so, and that was his style. But then apparently he ends up suffering a back injury. And while he's out from his back injury, and it was a pretty bad back injury, it ties into later on in life.
Yeah, they said he couldn't train for, what, 6 months?
Yeah, so he ends up, while he's down, he ends up writing a lot of philosophy, reading a lot of philosophy, and this is when he ends up coming up with Jeet Kune Do, because he's sitting there idle, and he's able to think of the styles, and he's able to spend his time. He ends up writing the Tao of Jeet Kune Do. He ends up developing his style because he has this back injury, and he's forced to not train. And then shortly after that, he opens a school in Oakland. He opens a school in Los Angeles, and he starts to be able to branch out because his style is getting a lot of attention. And especially because he ends up being in the Green Hornet for 2 seasons. So he ends up starring as Kato. So everybody's like, fuck, that stuff is crazy, the shit you were doing. So every suddenly he's like,
when
a
they
Hollywood.
Watched that in China, they called it the Kato show. Like, no one gave a fuck.
Well, that's what's crazy. That shows how behind they are. It's like 3 years later,
well,
though.
Because the Green Hornet was like, pow, like bang. It was like Batman fight, like super shitty big
and
white guy.
And then you see
fight.
Fucking Bruce Lee whooping somebody's ass.
Well, and they did, you know, that show only lasted 1 season and it got cut. And then 3 years later, he tries to go back to China after that gets taken off the air. He tries to go back to China and cut a deal with movie producers. And they're like, nope, sorry. It's like $200 a movie or whatever. He's like, nope, can't do it. He goes back like a couple years later and he's this fucking, like he's Justin Bieber.
Right.
Like, yeah, I mean, he literally can't get off the plane.
Because of that show.
Yeah, because of the show. And he had no idea.
And again, it's fucked up because in Hollywood, he came up with the concept of the old TV show Kung Fu.
Yeah.
Like that was his show. Like he pitched it, he developed it, and the studio was like, we love this show. However, we're not like going to cast a Chinese guy to play a Chinese guy. Nobody will watch. So they end up getting David Carradine to do the show. But can you imagine how dope that show would have been if it was fucking him in it? Oh my God.
Did you see his quote about that though? He was so like, I don't know, like modest in accepting that. He said that he understood. He said, they think like business. They think business wise, and I'm a risk. I don't blame them. If the situation were reversed and an American star were to come to Hong Kong and couldn't speak Chinese very well, you know what I mean? And look different than them. And it would be like if an American.
It's a bad business decision at the time.
He's like, business wise, he gets it. I'm a risk. I don't blame him. Even though they fucking ripped his whole concept off, said 2 other guys wrote it, and then went with the fucking white guy.
Yeah, but you know what he said behind doors.
Yeah.
He's like, fucking, I'll tear David Carradine's nuts off and eat him for breakfast with my fucking Canadian tacos.
That's Kill Bill, right? That's Bill.
That's Kill Bill.
Yeah. That's Kill Bill. Yeah. Kung Fu. Yeah.
I mean, like him.
And Kung Fu's kind of classic. Like that was the show. Yeah. That show went on for many years. Yeah. And fucking is a classic show.
And we did skip ahead, getting to Green Hornet and Kung Fu. All that we did skip ahead of a big part of the mythology that, again, I don't know how much to believe and how much not to believe. Did you guys read stuff about the fight with Wong Jack Man?
Yes.
So
it was old school Kung Fu. Like basically it was what Brad was saying. The Chinese community was super against him teaching white people.
This is in San Francisco, I believe.
They basically, all the old masters were pissed and they got together and said, hey, you're going to fight our fucking best dude. And
if
he's
you lose, you close your school.
Yeah.
Like, that's old school Kung Fu. That's straight out of the movie.
Because again, they were mad that in the States, he was training Caucasians and anybody who would come, as long as they paid, he was training them. And allegedly a lot of the old Chinese masters
oyster crackers.
Well, yeah, that's right. you don't train non-Chinese in these styles. Like this is not done. So yeah, it's old school fucking rap battle. You got to fucking.
So the fight goes 3 minutes and he picks apart.
Allegedly
the
though.
But there's two totally different.
This is from his wife's account.
This is from his wife's account.
The fight goes 3 minutes. He's pissed off.
That it took too long.
That it took too long.
But the other guy's story is that it took like 25 minutes.
Actually, multiple eyewitnesses.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they say that when they went to shake hands, like Bruce didn't shake hand and fucking like ridge hand him in the forehead and cut his head. And then fucking aggressively was like trying to kill him or some shit, chasing him around.
Yeah.
And then he finally stumbled like running backwards and he finally got him down and said, do you give up? And then they ran in and broke up the fight or something.
Yeah. Because the eyewitness account is that, everything that you just said, like fucking 20 minutes long.
Your wife's going to tell the good story.
Bruce was and
I
super. Agree.
I mean, you got to say both sides.
Yeah, yeah. Bruce was super aggro according to all the eyewitness accounts, just like fucking off the chains. And when Wong Jack Mountain fell, like he was just on the fucking offensive and he tripped and fell, and he said that fucking Bruce Lee jumped on him and everybody was so afraid that he was straight up gonna fucking kill this guy that they pulled Bruce Lee off and called the fight over.
Well, it's one of those things, like,
him the winner.
Bruce Lee was a great actor. You act crazy enough. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, watch a Bruce Lee movie and the fucking looks on his face.
That scene where he's intimidating. Like,
he
Into
is.
The Dragon where he kills the guy and stomps on him, actually. When
yeah, his face is just pissed off. Like,
you'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
We have to, he's going to fucking kill him.
The neck muscles just coming out. Like, and that's, I honestly, I mean, who knows? But if multiple accounts are saying that's probably what went down, like that's probably what went down. And you could think, if you look back, Bruce Lee has a temper.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's known. You know what I mean? He grew up in street fights, wasn't afraid to fight.
The thing that made it a little more solidified on the opposite story was that they reissued another challenge. They said, let's have a rematch public then. And if you have a problem with this story, like if you have a problem with the way we told the story, then fight me again in public. And he didn't do it.
Just
and he was kind of known for like not backing down from a challenge.
Yeah.
And he left it at that.
Yeah,
so.
I mean.
And either way, whether it was 3 minutes or 20 minutes, at the end of the day, Bruce Lee did publicly say multiple times, the fight went longer than I wanted it to.
Yeah.
And this is, again, one of the reasons that he helped to start to think and formulate Jeet Kune Do and get away from just Wing Chun, because he wanted something that was
the driving force behind starting to study fencing in the boxing tapes.
Yeah.
It's what made that happen. Really.
Yeah. And again, that was a big year. So that was like 64. In 64, he also meets Linda Emery, who he ends up marrying, and he ends up having two kids, Brandon Lee in 65 and Shannon Lee in 69. And this is when he's just starting to become famous. He ends up like after, spoiler alert, he dies. After he died, people even looked and they said that,
He's not dead. We all know where he's at.
We all know exactly where he's at.
Well, we know where he's at.
Right. But everybody else has to. Yeah. We can say where he's at, but we're not going to give the coordinates.
Zach Kirby knows, actually.
Yeah.
He's got military intel.
He doesn't know. He's partial access.
And I think it's important to note here that he's on Tupac Island, and it's important to note that it's not called Bruce Lee Island or Elvis Island, even though it's the same island. It's called fucking Tupac.
Yeah.
That says some shit about Tupac.
Gangster.
Like straight up.
It's
like if Bruce Lee was already there, and when Tupac got there, he was like, nigga, this is Tupac Island.
Yeah.
So I just want to clarify that. It says something about Tupac that it is Tupac.
It's actually kind of racial, because it's King Coleman was on the throne and they went up and he presented it and he just gave it to Tupac because he's black.
Could have been.
There's some racial shit behind it. Allegedly.
Might have been.
That's what happened.
But anyway, after he died, they said that and again, from this whole period when he was studying, they found in his home 1,700 books that were fully annotated, notes taken, like he just read voraciously, took notes on everything, books on anatomy, books on martial arts, books on philosophy.
Yeah, he was super well-read, and the people that call him like, oh, we can have a bunch of books on the shelf, but exactly that, they opened them and they're annotated.
Yeah.
There's notes like down through all these fucking books.
Yeah, and there was a big philosopher named Alan Watts. He wrote a book called The Way of Zen. Like he was one of the guys who was philosophically at the same time period. This is the same period, you know, in the late 50s through the 60s through the 70s. Alan Watts was popularizing Eastern philosophy in the West. So all of California was kind of learning about Buddhism and about Zen and about Taoism. And this was all from Alan Watts' philosophy. He was like a bestseller, all this stuff. And Bruce Lee would listen to Alan Watts. And there were even accounts that in his school, when he was teaching Jeet Kune Do, he would have Alan Watts playing in the background. And while people were doing katas, while people were sparring, they would be listening to Eastern philosophy.
That sounds like some cult shit right there.
That is. Yeah.
I did read and or see a lot of stuff on documentaries about a lot of his philosophy, not really any of it's original, but he had the same kind of adaptation to like martial arts they did with philosophy is he would take it and adapt it to his, like, sure, literally replace fencing with Jeet Kune Do. Like the wording, like, it was verbatim. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, yeah, you read his philosophy, it's the same philosophy that people in the East were saying fucking 3,000 yeah, years
he
ago.
He adapted it.
I mean, yeah, but it's, I mean,
it's a compilation. It's the best of, yeah, all. Yeah.
Well, and it's one of those things, like, if me and you wanted to come up with philosophy now and we started saying some things,
right,
even though we might have even came up with them originally.
What you thought was an original thought.
Yeah, yeah, it's not. Right. Somebody else has already said it, you, right, know, and or you studied it and then that came to light.
Right. You know, and this, like, is your take, yeah, on it.
This is, know, my, I mean, take on it. It actually,
it's just like our religion, Jawadism, is a work in progress. And exactly. We're going to take the best of all religions.
Right. You know? That's right.
Yeah, when we get,
that's
that, right, when we get the it rest of all rolling.
The mixed martial art of religions.
Yes. That's right. So long about this time, right? So he's not getting roles in L.A. Because he's too Chinese. And this is after the Green Hornet came out. So he was already really big back in his hometown in Hong, yeah, Kong.
Which,
so,
he made a lot of connections.
I, yeah, mean, he did. You know, he did.
Doing
Chinese connection.
Yeah. No.
But, nice. So, but he ends up going back in 71. And in a very short amount of time, he just knocks out fucking blockbuster movie after blockbuster movie, yeah, in Hong Kong.
Because even the Chinese had never seen fight scenes,
no,
the way that he did fight, no, scenes.
And this, and again, this is something that, you know, as a martial arts movie fan, and Brent mentioned this already, like, when you look at most action movies today, they fucking suck, right? Like, you see a fight scene and all that it is camera tricks, yeah, period.
Like, so have, like, if you have fat Steven Seagal rolling around, right, in a bus, right, like, trying to kick himself,
he's gotten sad.
But if you see, like, if
looks
you
like
see,
a looks like a fucking
the
white
sheriff
orange
show, have you, right, seen the sheriff,
yeah,
show,
yeah, yeah,
fucking goes out with him,
so,
with,
like, and you know, one example I'll use, like, if you look at the first Jason Bourne movie, it was done how it should be done, right, like the fight scene. Scenes, like, you, yeah, would have a camera back and you would see, like, this beautiful choreographed fight scene that was very complex. And by the time, like, Jason Bourne 3 came out, it's cheap.
Right.
And what you see when I say it's cheap, it's because right when Jason Bourne is punching and the camera should strike the other guy, the camera cuts to a
face,
different angle,
yeah,
to a face, to a whatever. And it's a shitty way to film a fight scene. It takes you out of the action. It's not. And if you look at a Jackie Chan movie, if you look, yeah, at Bruce Lee, like, but the reason it's cheap is because it's literally cheap, because, right, I only have to film 10 takes of this shitty looking punch, and, right, with the edit and the camera move, I can make it look good, because I don't have fucking Bruce Lee standing on the set as a badass,
right,
and I throw 10 badasses at him and trust that the end result is going to be badassery.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that. But with someone like Jackie Chan, with someone like even Jet Li in a lot of his movies, you see, like, genuine, but nothing like Bruce Lee. Like, when you see those, the camera back, Enter the Dragon, 10 dudes rushing at him, it's, yeah, just masterpiece move after masterpiece move.
What do you think, like, I know Brad's gonna be like, fuck that, they can't do anything. Do you think, like, Matt Damon and possibly, like, Keanu Reeves, because of all the fucking shit they had to do for training, do you think that, like, in a normal street fight, those dudes probably whoop a little bit of ass? I think fucking Matt Damon might whoop your ass.
Like, I think Keanu Reeves might whoop your ass.
I don't know, man. There was a video floating around and he was doing like close quarter, shit? No, close quarter, like, shooting and shit.
Uh-huh.
That fool was actually good.
With,
like,
a gun, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like,
I mean, all the training they, like, do. They do real, they, yeah, go, like, train with the FBI, train with the fucking army.
Yeah.
Like, when
I think too, though, like, a lot of it is a mental thing. And I think, like, those guys, they might think that they could do something,
right,
and then when it actually came down to it, it might
probably
be
more than the
story,
average fucking man, though,
but yeah,
sure,
the,
yeah,
yeah, like, if anybody, well, any street fight off the street, you know, some guy who just fucking thinks he can fight,
right,
really can't fight.
I would vouch, know, for Keanu Reeves more because he does study martial arts,
right,
and he has for a very long, I mean, I just think of how much martial arts he had to learn to film The Matrix,
right,
and how much intent all three of them, like, that's like fucking,
yeah,
10 years of shit.
I remember
in a
watching
row.
The behind the scenes, they fucking train legit.
I mean you watch the man from Tai Chi that he was in.
They trained for like a year
fucking
before the Matrix.
John Wick.
Yeah.
Like his shit.
Yeah, John Wick.
I mean,
yeah,
he's a fucking badass.
Look at somebody like Jean-Claude Van Damme. Jean-Claude Van Damme, at the time he was doing Bloodsport, was like a fucking green belt in,
right,
fucking some bullshit ass fucking whatever.
Right. He could do the splits real good.
Yeah, yeah, but his movements, like in Kickboxer and stuff, like, Fo was a fucking badass. Like, you see him and,
like,
you're like,
you make,
yeah,
him mad though. If you tell him his mother has sex with Mule,
yeah,
he will fuck you up in a, yeah, Thailand bar.
Yes. Yeah. So, no, I mean, it's hard to say. A lot of it is camera tricks. A lot, and I was watching a thing about that very issue. I was looking at some martial arts stuff, and there's a film of Donnie Yen, and he's talking about the camera, and he's like it was some obscure YouTube thing, and it's like him and some other guy, and he's showing him moves, and he's a fucking badass, and he's talking about the fact that this is what I would do, and then he was like, but if I did this cheaply and the camera pans this way right when I punch, and he has the camera do it, it just looks
better.
It looks like he threw a good punch or whatever when he didn't, but then he's so good that he can do it with the camera just roll. And you see these tricks and see what
you guys saw. My on-screen punch, my one fucking movie debut. Did you guys see that?
I think I saw that. Yeah,
it was a fair. I'd never done it before. It was a fair punch. It's my first punch. I'd never been on a roller coaster before. Yeah, it was not bad.
But yeah, so you. I mean, but when you watch
a lot of camera,
it
tricks.
Was fake as fuck though.
Yeah,
I only had two takes or one take. Two takes.
Yeah.
But you know.
Yeah.
That's
But when you watch the Bruce Lee movies, you see just fucking genuine talent coming out. You see both, like I've said, genuine martial arts talent and genuine screen martial arts talent, because there's a difference. Like, can I look good on a screen is more important for a movie producer than can I actually fight in a fight.
And I think people mistake too, like Bruce Lee had awesome moves and was fucking an excellent martial artist, obviously.
Right.
But you mistake like, oh, well, he's fucking better than anybody. Well, maybe fucking this other guy can take a punch and just fucking knock Bruce Lee out.
Right.
You know, like that's the thing you miss.
He weighs 140 pounds.
Yeah.
He weighs 250 pounds. No matter how badass you are at 140 pounds, you might be getting your ass whooped by
guess. You could be a fucking really good 140 pounder and you run into me at 260 pounds. Mm-hmm. You're gonna have trouble.
Right.
Like, you're okay. You're big, but when in a real fight,
especially if you're holding the chocodile, Brad's getting that chocodile.
Yeah.
You got a chocodile on a Mountain Dew. You better fucking just hand it over.
Oh, the Mountain Dew puts it overboard.
Yeah. And you better not have any fun.
Yeah.
You better chocodile it down.
Yeah, because somebody's getting raped, and it ain't gonna be me.
You got to chocodile it down a notch.
But yeah, I mean, you take it where there's not any rules. You know, like, and that's one thing, like people compare like judo and jiu-jitsu or fucking this sport and that sport, like, or this martial art and that martial art. Well, if you use kung fu rules, then obviously probably kung fu is going to win. Yeah. If you're using boxing rules, obviously fucking this is going to win, you know, like I mean,
Mayweather, McGregor.
Or Mayweather and Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you open up the rules. Yeah.
She Rousey's
probably
going to
whoop his ass. But if you just kept boxing rules, Mayweather's probably going to pick her a fucking part.
Right,
like
right.
Those are all things that.
Because he knows the sport. Like he knows the rules.
Yeah. I mean, well, those are all things that. Fuck rules. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the real thing is like rules. Get the fuck out with rules. Like who wins in a fight?
That's and again, that's, I mean, you look at the footage, any number of different things that Bruce Lee was in the 1964 International Karate Championship, like the shit he's doing is just fucking unbelievable. Like even at the time, martial artists worldwide were just like, what the fuck?
To the fans, if you haven't seen the 1-inch and 6-inch punch, watch that fucking footage. He knocks a fucking grown ass man into a chair and it slides like 3 feet.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. And like I said, again, I'm not taking credit away from it.
Right.
Does it really hurt? No. You can force somebody, you can push somebody down.
It's
in a small amount of
movement.
An
amazing demonstration of power, though, from 140 pound man.
It's an amazing demonstration of force, not power. There's two different things.
Right.
So, and the same thing.
It shows you his ability to use, his ability to use his entire body to generate force.
Power.
It's unbelievable.
That is a skill in martial arts.
Yeah.
Like that right there is a skill.
Oh,
not everybody can do
skill.
It. It's the same thing as a boxer being able to jab super hard because they've done that same technique.
I legit think that there's some kind of fucking crazy chi power. There's those monks that can like break steel over their head, baseball bats over their fucking shin.
Well, and I don't know if I talked about it or not, but they when I was doing karate, and this is probably when I was in high school, maybe like 14 years old, like they did a demonstration and it was, you know, two black belts, the head sensei, the hanshi up in front of everybody, literally a full class, probably 20, 30 students in there. And he basically did kind of not really the 1-inch punch, but kind of just like a standing like boom into the abdomen of this other black belt. And he basically hit the gi slaps, right? He didn't push into the body,
right?
Hits the gi slaps, the guy falls to the ground. And no joke, my stomach started hurting. Like he punched me in the stomach.
Right.
And I look around and I'm like, the guy next to me is like, oh fuck, like you're feeling sick, like somebody just punched you in the stomach. So there, I believe that there is energy.
Have you
know
seen
what I mean?
The fucking video of Kimbo Slice hitting fucking David Blaine in the stomach, like gut shot in the fucking solar plex as hard as he can. So David Blaine just fucking lifts up his shirt and stands up, and Kimbo fucking Slice comes up and punches him in his fucking solar plex as hard as he can. And then he goes, you guys want to see a card trick? And just fucking starts showing card tricks. And the look on Kimbo Slice's face is like, what the fuck?
But yeah. And there's ways to divert energy. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, I'm going to call them basic bitches don't understand, you know, like the basic people, you know, and it's
a mind
rare.
Over matter.
It's
thing.
A mind over matter. It's just like we were talking about pain. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like some people, somebody touches them and they're like, it hurts me. And you know, myself, I feel like I'm on like a level 10 pain and I'm just like, yeah. Like, how do you feel right now? If a doctor asked me, I'm like, 10 and I'm walking around.
Right.
You know, like, you know, my knee comes out and I'm, you know, Brent, we're walking on it. You know, right. I got torn ligaments and I'm walking on it, you know, torn shoulder or dislocated bones and I'm training, you know, like, so, or dislocated bones, dislocated joints,
right.
You know, so, you know, pain tolerance, everything comes into an account.
No, it does. It's all a part of it.
Yeah.
And obviously he had it.
Yeah.
Right. And he did, I mean, he was a big believer in chi. He was a big believer that there was an energy that he summoned in himself from outside of himself.
Yeah.
And that was all part of it. Like he said, when in the Tao of Jeet Kune Do, he says, quote, I feel I have this great creative and spiritual force within me that is greater than faith, greater than ambition, greater than confidence. Whether it is the Godhead or not, I feel this great force, this untapped power, this dynamic something within me.
Yeah.
And that is what he says he's channeling when he does that stuff. But again, his fucking, like, if you haven't seen him, one of the reasons this was so hard for me to research is I couldn't go 15 minutes without having to watch footage.
Yeah.
And then I would be watching footage for 30 minutes just going, motherfucker.
That happened to me. Like, I looked at the clock. I was like, fuck, I can't keep watching this. I have to know stuff.
Just unbelievable how fast he is, how precise he is. Just fucking like nobody else. But I read one article that said that that it's like one of the unfortunate things about Bruce Lee is that he was the first one to really do it and that he set the bar so high, no one else has been able to do it as well yet.
Yeah.
So, like no one's been able to, like I've never seen a martial arts movie with sequences as good as Enter the Dragon. I never have.
No,
and that shit was made in fucking 71.
And it's going to be rough to find that because it is a specific style to a specific person. You know?
Like, and you start to, and again, you see really good martial artists in a movie with a really shitty director and the fight scenes fucking suck. And you know that person's good. You know Jet Li whoops ass and you see this one fight scene in this one movie. I'm like, that's a bad fight
scene. What's up with Jet Li always holding those fucking rosary beads or whatever the fuck he's got and whooping your ass with the other hand? What is that? Is that a style?
Because he can hold
he's just
anal
showing
beans.
You like
he's showing you like I'm going to stuff these in your ass when I get done whooping your ass.
He's like counting beads in his right hand. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I have no idea.
He always holds that fucking shit in his one hand and whoops your ass with his other hand.
Let me see.
I mean, I vaguely remember that in a movie.
Don't type anal beads because it'll come up. The internet has that.
So
Jet Li anal beads.
To look back at his chronology again. So he moves to Hong Kong in 71. His big break is in a movie called The Big Boss, which was 45 years ago this month, actually in November. He ends up starring in Fists of Fury, which like The Big Boss was a box office record breaker. He ends up his next movie, The Fists of Fury, breaks the record that The Big Boss did. His next movie, The Chinese Connection, breaks the records that Fists of Fury set. And then while he's filming, then he does Return of the Dragon, which is the first one that he directs himself. He and Raymond Chow end up doing it in Return of the Dragon. And then he starts filming Game of Death and Enter the Dragon simultaneously.
Was it Way of the Dragon? I saw Way of the Dragon.
I think it had multiple titles.
There's Return of the Dragon, Way of the Dragon, Enter the Dragon.
Return of the Dragon might also be called Way of the Dragon, but Enter the Dragon and Return of the Dragon are his two. And again, it gets hard because even I remember as a kid, I'd be like, Bruce Lee's badass. And you would see like Path of the Dragon with Bruce Lai.
Yeah.
It's like on Saturday afternoon and you'd be like, fucking sweet. I'd be looking in the TV guide or my mom would be like, Path of the Dragon with Bruce Lai, with Bruce Lee is on. And I'm looking, it's like, it's Bruce Lai. Just some fucking dude with the same
haircut.
You
lied to me, bitch.
Like, bitch,
hoping
I'll cut you.
Hoping it was
Buddhist counting beads or meditation beads. Yeah. Sorry. Buddhist meditation.
But when he ends up doing Enter the Dragon, and it had a $1 million budget, and to date it's made $200 million internationally because on one fucking million dollars. But he ends up leaving Game of Death. Most of the filming is done, and he goes to do Enter the Dragon. And
is this the one where he stood his ground? Like he wanted more, like at some point in time, he finally like pulled rank and was like, I'm not fucking showing up to the film because it didn't like portray.
Game of Death was his movie that he did with, what's his name? The big tall fucker.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's where Chuck Norris was in.
Chuck Norris was in it. Like the famous fight scene with Chuck Norris. Yeah. Those are all his buddies, you know, and
Kareem's the yin to Coleman's yang. He's the opposite of
Poseidon. But he did. I mean, and the reason Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, cause that's really weird. It's like, why the fuck was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a basketball player in this movie? It's because he studied Jeet Kune Do in his LA studio. He knew Bruce Lee from all that stuff. Well, so that was one of the reasons.
Bruce Lee actually was like a private, he did private instruction, went around all the,
you know, footage in the backyard.
There's footage of him in the backyard of fucking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's lanky ass. Yeah. That motherfucker though, even if he wasn't very good, he could kick you from like eight feet away. You're like, I'm gonna fuck you up. You can't get to him.
He was like Dolph Sim. Yoga flame.
he's a longer like Bones Jones, you know, like that's the guy who could beat Bones Jones. Yeah. Like he has to have a longer reach. Just get somebody in there and there's like 7'9" and it's over.
So, and apparently like right before Enter the Dragon got released, and it was the first time Hollywood threw production and money and so forth behind a Bruce Lee movie. Yeah. And again, it was what most people,
they're getting like less racist over time.
Yeah, so exactly. Like, regardless of what people say about whether or not he was the grandfather of mixed martial arts, he was the fucking father of the modern action film, and it was Enter the Dragon. Yeah. Like fucking that was it. That set the standard.
That's the movie which every other martial arts film is measured.
Yeah, that's like, it. That's the fucking one. But he dies right before it comes out, July 20th, 1973. He dies in Hong Kong, and there's a lot of controversy and mystery about exactly how he died. But I
read a lot of it, but it really seems like media hype. I feel like the official story seems like the right story, but it's still kind of weird. I mean, but who knows if he actually took a lot of hits to the head and there was some kind of cerebral thing going on.
Who fucking knows? I mean, he took a pill and his brain swelled. Yeah. Like, right. I mean, it sounds like, but that's the thing. Like people tried to make it like,
you know why?
Something that it wasn't. Life. Yeah. How could he die so
They
simple?
Lied about where he died at first. And like, that's what started the controversy. Like he died in some apartment and they first said he died at home. And then it got out that he didn't. So they're like, oh, something's being hidden.
Well, it's because he was at this other female actress's apartment. Well,
but here's the thing. Then everybody's like, oh, he's at some other female actress's house. And it's like, well, yeah, no,
they're working on a movie.
Like all accounts were that him and his partner, Raymond Chow, went over to, her name was Betty Pei, and they
The Chinese Betty Page?
That's right. They went to Betty Pei and they were going over a script with her because she was going to be in the next movie. I forget what it was called, The Yellow Tiger or something, like the next movie that
she was
supposed
take
to be
the
doing.
Yellow
That's
tiger.
Right. But they were going over a script and all this stuff. And then after the meeting, like he was supposed to go home and then he was supposed to meet Raymond Chow for a post-production meeting at dinner and all this stuff. But then when he was there, he had still had back pain from his fucking back injury. I mean, he was a fucking athlete and a martial artist, so he had pain.
He said he had a headache.
They gave him Equagesic, which is an aspirin, and it's also got the tranquilizer meprobamate in it.
Yes. Yeah, and that was her prescription.
That was her prescription. Yeah. She gives it to him, and he ends up dying. Like he ends
four hours later.
4 hours later, like when
they took 10 minutes to call the fucking ambulance. They like fucked around trying.
Well,
but Raymond
Chow he didn't show up for dinner, so he goes over to Bruce Lee's house in Hong Kong. Fucking knocks on the door, goes in to see what's up, sees that he's laying on the fucking ground or whatever. Right. Like he's all fucked up, and then they end up, you know, calling in. And
he took Polaroid selfies with his fist this before.
Yeah. I've knocked you out, bitch.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing where it gets kind of sketchy because like people think like, well, maybe she was in on trying to kill him because there's people that didn't like him. You still have all the martial artists who are pissed off at him. You know what I mean?
Gangs. But another thing is, so the coroner's report said that he had cannabis in his stomach because he had hash from Nepal that he had eaten.
Nobody ever died from weed though.
No, nobody ever died from fucking weed. Well, and even the coroner even said, no, he didn't die from weed.
You guys know how much weed it takes to kill a lab rat?
No.
5 pounds dropped from 5 feet.
That's the only way he could do it. But no, so he would, you know, and I, again, it was probably part of his pain management. He probably did hash and all that stuff to try to fucking kill the pain. It's as a more natural means or whatever. But yeah, so tons of theories start to come out. And Brad, you just mentioned some of them, like it was a triad revenge, or it was a muscle scheme, like you're not paying us protection money or whatever.
There was so many, and some of them, I mean, you're just like, whatever.
Chinese martial arts purist, like you said, wanted to kill him because he was teaching, you know, everybody the secrets.
And then there's the curse. You know, they put a curse on him.
The curse, and they said
the most legit one, because then his son dies too.
They're and like, it killed his brother.
Yeah,
allegedly.
And his brother too. Yeah.
But some people say that he, in a fight the week before, he got a dim mock strike, which is a death touch, and they think that he got dim mocked, and it took a week for the dim mock to kill him.
No, that shit could kick in when you're 73.
Yeah, that's right. You know,
there's no time.
You don't have.
I can tell you right now, I'm going to die of dim mock.
He didn't have the snake Plitzkin watch.
No,
on,
that's
so
right.
He didn't know
when he was going to die. But no, so they, and again, like the idea of the curse, right? So his son, Brandon Lee, died on the set of The Crow.
28 years old.
And he was kind of a badass. I mean, Brandon.
Well, he'd been training since he could walk.
He'd been training with Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
There's super cool videos of Bruce like kicking his leg up.
Yeah.
Brandon Lee like doing little like karate squat looking fucking kicks and shit.
If he didn't die on that set, there would have been a fucking era of badass Brandon Lee movies.
Probably.
They were just shitty.
He wore mascara, 90s, though, so I don't know how badass.
But like, The Crow was pretty bad, though. Like,
he was part of it, though. Like that was someone else that finished that shit.
Well, he did like three quarters of the movie. Yeah. But I mean, though, and the way he died is like the craziest thing. And that's what I was telling Dave before this is if you don't know what a squib load is, it's when the bullet gets stuck in the barrel and then you shoot another load behind it, right? So they were supposed to film the revolver that was point blank or whatever, where you could see the bullets. If you had a blank in there, you would be able to see that it was a blank. It wasn't a real bullet. So what they did was they pulled the bullet out of the casing, emptied the powder, put the bullet back in, left the primer live. At some point, they don't know when that bullet got shot, but it's only enough to lodge it in the barrel.
Right.
Right. So somewhere you would have heard it go off. Somebody did it. They didn't check the barrel. Then they put the blank in and shot him with the bullet that was in the barrel. Like it's the most unfortunate.
Yeah.
Sequence of events.
Again, one of the reasons that people say it's a curse is because in the Game of Death, there's a movie within the movie that his character is filming.
Yeah.
And in the Game of Death, which 15 years before his son gets killed, that's exactly how this character gets killed in the Game of Death with Bruce Lee. His character in the movie gets shot by an actor who kills him on set with a gun.
On accident.
So it's kind of creepy
because
that shit was in his fucking movie. His son died. So that's kind of fucking creepy. But a lot of people say it's like the curse of the Lee family.
Someone could have just brought that shit to fruition too. They could have been like, I'm going to make that shit
Brandon Lee wanted to make his secret society of
Nostradamus enthusiasts, and they're just fucking sitting there making it happen. Like,
the towers. Yeah.
Two more weeks, guys.
Yeah. Two more weeks. Got to take those towers down.
This
fucking tower's got to go down somehow.
That's the truth. There's just Nostradamus enthusiasts.
They're just like
making all the shit happen.
So yeah, it was, I mean, just fucking huge. I mean, again, like his entire legacy of movies was done in fucking from 71 to 73.
Right.
And he had that. I can't fathom what he would have done in fucking 76. Like, like I just nailed it in Enter the Dragon. Can you imagine what his next fucking three movies would have been like? Just off the fucking chain.
Well, how old would he be today?
75.
He'd probably still be doing fucking kicks and shit.
Yeah, he probably fucking would.
There's an old lady that came in my shop that was 79 and told me she's a brown belt and kicked above her head.
How old is Jackie Chan? He's still fucking making. Yeah, Jackie Chan was in early Bruce Lee movies.
Jackie Chan like started getting famous when he was 75.
Yeah. I mean, Jackie Chan was in Bruce Lee movies and he's still making martial arts movies. I mean, I don't know how old Jackie Chan is, but I know.
62.
Yeah.
So, but he was in Bruce Lee movies. So even if he was like fucking done by now, that would have been a good fucking 20-year run of badass movies.
Yeah, because Jackie Chan,
Tucker would have been playing with him.
Richard Pryor back.
You know
in
what
the
though? That's the thing. Jackie Chan killed him.
Ooh, yeah, he wanted
to heat. Yeah, because how would if he wouldn't have been the big, you know, big right. dong.
Motherfucker.
It would have been Bruce Lee around the world in 80 days.
That's right. Motherfucker.
Yep.
Jackie Chan.
That's the, Chan. The movie you picked?
Brilliant. But yeah.
I'm just saying because it had Jackie Chan's name in it.
Like, yeah.
Jackie Chan's a badass, too. We'll have to wait for him to die before he
does it. Bruce Lee's Rush Hour.
Jackie Chan's super badass. Or again, you look at.
Or it was Bruce Lee.
Might have been Bruce Lee. Yeah. But I mean, again, you see Jackie Chan and he's willing, since he's so popular and he has so much money because he's done all these movies and he's like, he's it in Hong Kong. He can say, I'm going to film this punch in this fight scene fucking 60 times. Like, because it's like, I'm going to drop a beer bottle, kick it up into right. the air, punch it until it flies across the room and hits you in the face. And if that takes 120 takes, it takes 120 takes. Yeah, right. And most movie studios are going to be like, fuck that. Kick it up in the air. We'll cut to you punching it.
Yeah.
We'll cut to it fly. And again, when you see like the movies that Jackie Chan, what were those horrible Westerns that he did with fucking the Wilson brother?
Luke Wilson. Those are
Luke
good.
Wilson. But again, you look at them and they're the action is that shitty Hollywood cut style.
Right.
And you look at earlier Jackie Chan stuff and it's just fucking legit.
He flips the chair behind him over his head and fucking kicks it into somebody.
And what's a trip is it's the same, like the things that he does in those movies are the same things he did in all of his earlier movies, it's like for a Hollywood style, audience, but they did the cut style because they can't have the entire Hollywood set waiting for two days to get the bottle kicked to the face.
Well, that motherfucker's like,
he broke his foot jumping across those buildings
when he's like 50 something years old.
And they painted his cast to look like a fucking shoe.
Yeah.
For the record, this is not a Jackie Chan episode, and we were fucking talking about it.
I know, but this is Bruce Lee's what led to these things happening. Yeah. Like that, you know, none of these things would be the way they are today if he didn't set that bar.
Right.
So, all right. Well, that's it, guys.
Yep.
That's so abrupt. So,
anyway, if you can't tell, I am fucking totally in love with fucking Bruce Lee. Badass. Yep. Badass martial artist. Badass movie maker. Badass philosopher. Like the fucking, like I have a couple of the books that he's written. They're
his
good
interviews
books.
Are awesome.
Yeah, right he is awesome.
He's a trip when he talks.
And again, you see, it's like, I never really thought about like
character,
you,
man.
You guys were talking about like that fight where he fought the guy to be able to keep teaching. I didn't really think about the fact that when you watch fight scenes with him, he's intimidating as fuck, like those crazy moves and the look on his face. If you saw him really doing that in a ring, you'd be like, he's gonna kill a motherfucker. Yeah, look at him, he's crazy.
Like, just if you go hear the interviews and listen to him talk, his like be like the water tea kettle speech is so fucking trippy. The look on his face, like just the way he talks about it, it's
you
awesome.
Put water in a cup, it becomes
the cup.
You put like water the water in a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put water in the teapot, it becomes the teapot.
He's a fucking,
be like water, my friend.
He's an icon, man. He's legit. So if you don't know much about martial arts and you've sat through this episode, do yourself a favor. Go watch. Just fucking hit some YouTube to watch some shit. Watch the things he's done at tournaments. Watch clips from Enter the Dragon. Go watch all of Enter the Dragon because it's fucking badass.
You know what you didn't mention? He was the 1957 Cha-Cha champion. Did you know that?
He was.
True.
I did know that.
He didn't get into dancing.
He was almost 18.
I've always said this, though, like teaching anybody martial arts or like and especially in, you know, as I got into judo, like it's like dancing, like it's timing.
It's
It's body movement, knowing, you know,
and he was a dance instructor in San Francisco before he was a martial arts instructor.
And if you're bad at dancing, chances are you're going to be bad at martial arts.
Right.
Like if you don't have timing, you're going to be bad at martial arts.
Because the ability to know exactly how to pivot your hips and move your foot at the exact moment that you launch your punch and turn your shoulder, like it's this crazy ability to generate force with your punch, especially when you're 140 pounds. Yeah. Like it's very specific.
And the thing with like that is like you think like, well, he's 140 pounds. How's he going to hurt me? The thing is speed makes power.
Fuck yeah.
And when you're three times as fast as anybody else, you fucking do some damage.
And watch that footage, man. Watch people, like, again, like, it's just another badass at a tournament, and he's just over and over and over and over punching so fast the camera can barely follow his fist. And then eventually, after like five or six of them, the other guy just kind of backs off and starts shaking his head and laughing because it's like, there is no defense against
this. Dude, there's
a
video of a dude that looks like Kevin Hart knocking out a dude that looks like fucking.
Yeah.
A
I've
huge
seen it
motherfucker.
Happen.
Yeah.
Like, and that dude is like 140 pounds. He just moves on the chin. Yeah. Fucking done. Like, how much does McGregor weigh?
They have a button. Everybody has a button.
Like 100, yeah, 155 or something. Yeah, if you fucking punch Dave in the fucking mouth.
No, McGregor's 145.
There you go. That's Bruce Lee. That's Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee was 141.
Except he's nowhere near as fast as Bruce Lee.
No.
That's what I'm trying to get at. Like, that motherfucker punched you in the mouth. Think about Bruce Lee punching in the mouth. Yeah. Then the next thing that's coming while you're stunned is a kick to the fucking head.
Yeah. While he's like a foot away from you.
And then he's armbarring you.
And what, like, the thing I was taught was, like, I mean, you're talking about, you know, somebody small. Is I've always been taught, like, It's the straw through the telephone pole.
Yeah. Right.
In a hurricane, it generates so much wind power, it can actually put a straw through a telephone pole, not damaging the straw.
You seen the thing? Because I was talking about those monks that could break baseball bats with their shins. Those dudes that throw the needle through the plate of glass and pop the balloon on the other side.
Right.
It's like magic. Crazy, dude. Yeah. It seems like a magic trick.
Yeah.
It's what the, that chi exists. They are fucking magic.
What happens is it's specific technique. You have to rub the anal beads,
rub them,
gives you the chi and you can accomplish anything.
Oh. Yeah. All right.
Be like Watto, my friend.
That's right.
Be like the anal beads.
That's right.
Be like anal beads, my friend.
Is it sponsor time?
Yes.
All right. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce coming on strong right after the anal beads. There you go. It's available at Walmart, Target.
Right at the tail end. Store. They were drafting the anal beads.
I had some on my breakfast sandwich that I made.
Anal beads?
It was delicious. Yes. Those were not on the sandwich.
Edible anal beads.
Elsewhere.
Can we get them on the website?
We need to pause here and think about this because that might.
I think that like E. coli or there's some shit going wrong there you can't do.
I mean, if you're just slurping them out and just one at a time.
Well, I was thinking you would eat them instead of, like, you could do either or.
Just jawbreakers on a string.
Put them inside.
Right.
It's like a candy necklace. Sort of like a
jawbreakers on a string.
Yeah, it's like a ring pop.
Or, or they dissolve after a certain amount of time.
There you go.
My schnozberries taste like schnozberries.
Yeah, and they give you a nice fresh scent.
Right.
So log on to yucateco.com and use code SOFAKING to save 10%.
We're never getting another sponsor.
No, we already told them what'll happen.
Yeah.
Hey, no, the deal.
You can't argue with results.
No.
So thank you to printdirtcheap.com. You can log on to printdirtcheap.com and order sticky stuff from them and save 10% by using code
SOFAKING. And leather heads if you have a business.
Yeah. All kinds of
flyers.
Stuff. It doesn't have to be sticky. It's printing goods. Yeah.
Anything printable.
Yeah.
Besides like shirts and stuff. But banners.
And also check out De Leon Graphics on Facebook and on Instagram. If you haven't followed or liked them, please go follow and like them.
And please message him about the dick pillows. Like, if you need a dick pillow,
please bombard the shit out of him with messages about dick pillows. This will be great.
You want to screen print a dick on a pillowcase?
Yeah, send Photoshop pictures of dick pillows and then send it to his Facebook messenger.
Fantastic.
De Leon
Graphics. De Leon, D-E-L-E-O-N, Graphics with an X, I believe. De Leon Graphics. So send dick pillow pictures there and request for dick pillow pictures. We have to give him a strong welcome as a new Soapy King sponsor.
He has to know what he's getting into.
But if you're going to do that, give him a Facebook like and follow his page, please, and or like and follow his Instagram.
But please do that, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely do that. We need the army to happen.
Yes.
We're calling on you, Zach Kirby and Keanu Reeves, Le Febre. Keanu Reeves, Le Febre. Yeah.
Keanu Reeves.
Whoever's willing to do that, do that. Thank you to Digital Creations and thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. You can log on to armhunter.com and buy geese. He actually has some kind of Black Friday deal on those geese right now.
Does he?
I want to say, I don't know what the dates are.
Just go to the website.
It's like $120 for gear right now or something though.
Yeah. So, and they are nice geese.
Those are really nice geese.
They're not some sort of cheap gi. They're nice geese. So
also follow us on Facebook. If you haven't, like if you're following us on Instagram, please follow us on Facebook because we just don't have that many Facebook followers. I don't know why. It does suck.
We're not paying to get like, you got to pay like $20 and you get like three followers like for some bullshit for advertising. Like fuck all that.
It runs through Florida for 3 days and then finally someone likes it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So follow us on our Instagrams at SofaKingBrent, at SofaKingBrad, at SofaKingDavid, and also at SofaKingPodcast. Yep. And Twitter at SofaKingPodcast.
Yep.
And go to iTunes and give us a good review if you haven't already, because we could use that as well.
Go to our website, www.com. Yep. Check out the show.
Yep.
I think that's everything.
It. Yep. And check your bushes before you go to bed.
He's out there.
Scary Gary's out
Just
there.
So you know, if you leave Reese's Pieces in a trail... He will follow them. He knows it's a trap, but he can't help himself. He fucking loves peanut butter.
He does. He does. Yeah. And the hard candy shell.
And you might be contributing to Nestle because there might be palm oil. I'm not sure, but what else can you fucking do? You know what I mean?
Reese's aren't.
I don't know.
Palm oil.
Reese's or Hershey's.
But there might be palm oil in them. I'm not sure.
They don't own all palm oil.
It's where palm oil is sourced, sir. That's what matters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
there's no good place to get palm oil. It's killing orangutans wherever you're getting it.
That's right.
Huh. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, right. It's about time. It's about space. It's about time I slap your fucking face.
Ding.
Don't be a retard.
No autographs, please. Hey. Consider it genocide when I pull out the pen to write. What man is safe when I pull out the pen? It ain't like writing, more like hand grenades. Y'all turn herbivore like lettuce prey. And I bet it takes the medic 7 days to get his face through metal blades. A 7-8, I bomb mics when I'm on site. When it's crunch time, your punchlines are fucked like prom fights. Yeah, some of that. Run it back, just how'd he come up with that? Chris Rios, Hispanics, you didn't see the pun in that. You structure your metaphors like a valley girl with an 800 credit score. But I dislike the pet peeve of this type. Let's settle scores like a tie game. What's my name? Metal's right pure, gold in my neck, even if I'm ever poor. Strategize against this insane type monster. Pattern wise, you ain't beat your way throughout the game like Contra. I'll stomp ya, my tongue's did it in ya. Lost sex in Africa, can't fuck with it, can ya? I'm the trill responsible for mass murder, suffering from Asperger's like I'm sitting on the grill. I debuted long ago and I'm shitting on them still. I'm number one and since the number two I'm pissing on them ill. Pete came in the game with insane prowess. Y'all lame cowards are all ass on the track. Ray Broward, dope ass line, right? But don't stand by me. I don't call police, you'll get slapped close hand by me. The COPYB, my AKA, the AK aimed and may spray a day day's frame. So wordplay my way from Thursday all the way to next Friday. Hate all the holidays except Monday, which I celebrate daily. Not much care for fake friends, not gas, though I could punch air and break wind. And not giving a single solitary fuck. Mad till I have all of Jerry's bucks and Holly Berry's fuck. The walls pair of ducks I'm wearing. Yup, you stare enough. Might unlace them and hand them to you just cause they ain't rare enough.
Young Leroy, what you doing? Whatever it is, it's the joy.